Turning your Bibles tonight to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. The Lord, Tony and Randy will testify, has a unique way of showing each of us what it is that He would have us to preach. Through reading the Bible, through study, through a variety of ways that He speaks to us in the Scriptures. And I can honestly say that tonight what you're going to get, because the Lord showed me how much I needed it. And when I found all this, it was like, well, it'll be good for y'all too. But it was really good for me, and I needed it terribly recently. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, and by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Notice, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask You, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, fill me with Your Holy Spirit so that what You have to say through the Scripture will be a blessing to these who have come tonight to be edified. We're very thankful, Father, for the Bible and the way that You speak to us in the words of God and how much encouragement we get from reading. I'm asking You now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help every person that took time on this Wednesday night to be in church. Help us all, Father, to be strengthened and edified by these great words. And we ask You to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You know, we all need a cheerful countenance. We need a cheerful countenance, and it's a countenance that needs to come from a merry heart, not a cheerful countenance of the world's mirth, where it's cackling laughter after being entertained. There's plenty of anger in the world. There are people, and I mean, it doesn't take much for them to get stoked up and hostile with each other, even in our own country. There's plenty of foolishness in the world. In other words, a lot of stuff, silly stuff, to make people laugh, with the intention of making you laugh. We don't need the world's anger. We don't need the world's mirth. What we need is, we need a merry heart. We need a joyful countenance that is truly a testimony of the Lord, of the work of the Lord in our lives. Something that happens in here that no matter what the circumstances are out there, it can't be hidden on your face. You know, I was thinking about this just the other day. It's funny how you'll look at somebody and say, you know, that person looks suspicious. That person looks wicked. Or that person looks nice. Or that person looks trustworthy. You know what you're doing? You're looking at a countenance and making a decision about what you see. For us, what we ought to see when we look at each other, what we ought to see when we look in the mirror, is a cheerful countenance. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. You know what? You get a merry heart and a cheerful countenance from some things that are written for us in the Scripture. So with your Bibles open tonight, I'd like to take you to a few of these passages. First of all, turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, and look at verse 12. You know where we get a merry heart and a cheerful countenance as a result? We get it from the Lord's forgiveness. Matthew chapter 9, look at verse 12. Verse 10 for the context. It came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with Him and His disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto His disciples, why eateth your Master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, He said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Well, that's really great, but that's not what I was looking for. Look at that cheerful countenance, buddy. Yeah. That's a fabulous verse of Scripture. And, you know, it was really funny. I stayed here real late last night, and I was working up stuff because, you know, we're moving to make sure I had all this. And there's a passage of Scripture here with a verse 12. let's see. Here you go. This is going to be verse 2. Matthew chapter 9, verse 2. Isn't that funny? I thought Tony was the only one that did that. So, with that said, look at verse 1. He entered into a ship, Matthew 9:1, passed over and came into his own city, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto them, unto the sick of the palsy, Son, watch it, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Be of good cheer. Now, you know what? To be sick of the palsy, I don't believe that's much cause for a cheerful countenance. Not really. And yet the Lord said to him, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. May I tell you something? I don't know what the condition of your heart is tonight. I don't know whether you came here all excited and couldn't wait to see everybody, if you came down here after a pretty tough week, but I want to tell you something. I want to tell you some good news. I don't know, don't care what sin it is that you have committed in the past, your sins are forgiven. You and God are on good ground tonight because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, when you think about that and you consider, I know if I look back in my past and consider that, there are things that bring up regret. And they wear me out. Sometimes I'll be reading Proverbs and I'm reading about myself and something that I did. And I'm thinking, why did I ever do that? And that'll bring you down. But then when you realize, you know what, that thing has been forgiven. It is washed in the blood. Jesus Christ has chosen not to remember that. I'm like, whoa! You know what? I don't have to face that. And thank God it's been long enough now, I don't even have to face the consequences of it. That's done. And it's so wonderful. So wonderful. So if you can't think of another thing in the world to brighten your spirit, just remember this. You did not have to pay for your sins. Jesus Christ did that and settled the account between you and God. And that is a good thing. Look at Matthew chapter 14, verse 27, I think. Matthew chapter 14, verse 27. And I'll give you another one. This is the verse, but let's go into the context. The disciples are in a ship, okay? And in verse 22, straightway, Matthew 14, 22, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship, go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Isn't that amazing that Jesus Christ was so involved in his prayer meeting with his Father? He didn't even bother to help those guys down there, and they were really battling a tempest. Verse 25, in the fourth watch of the night. Do you realize how long they've been at that? Fourth watch of the night is between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning. They've been at this thing all night long. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. It's bad enough we had to battle all this. Now we got a ghost. Verse 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And then this is when Peter walks on the water. But he says, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you thought you were battling it and battling it all by yourself? We all have. We all have. And you know what happens? You get upset with God. You do. And even as much as you love Him, you know that song we sing, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love? We get there. I mean, you guys come on Sunday, you come on Wednesday night, you're close to the Lord, you read your Bibles, most of you witness and you're just faithful, and you get upset with God when the going gets rough. And so does your pastor. And you know, we say, well, we shouldn't do that, but you know what happens? You and I get to the limit. We just don't have the physical capacity. We don't have the mental capacity. We don't have the emotional capacity. But may I tell you something? The Lord's right there. He's always there. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. The second thing that really gives us a cheerful countenance comes from the Lord's presence. May I tell you something? When I walked in here tonight, Jesus Christ was right in here. And when I leave here tonight, He's going to be right in here going with me. And He came in here with you. And He's going out with you, and He's going home with you tonight, and He'll be right there with you. When you're lying down in your bed tonight, Jesus Christ will be right there in your heart. You never face anything in this life without Him. Now, you'll get down, and you'll get upset, but He's right there. And when you remember that, and when you remember that He's right there with you, and that He's not allowing you to go through anything by yourself, and He's not allowing you to be overwhelmed. These guys fought that tempest all night, but that tempest didn't beat them. And when Jesus Christ got in that boat with them, after Peter had walked on the water, they were over on the other side. Business was done. I'm going to tell you what, when we cheer up over the Lord's presence in our lives in the midst of trouble, you know what it does? It magnifies Him and diminishes the tempest. And that's all that needs to happen. I don't know what it is supernaturally that takes place, but when you realize that God is big and God is there and whatever it is you're facing is not as big as He is, somehow or another it just puts a smile on your face. And that's a wonderful thing. You got a merry heart and a cheerful counsel. Countenance from the Lord's forgiveness and the Lord's presence. And look at this in John 16 at verse 33. You get a merry heart and a cheerful countenance from the Lord's peace. John 16, verse 33. From the Lord's peace. John 16, 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. Now, what did He say? He said, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He says, the world's going to beat up on you, but the world's not going to beat you up. The world will fight you, but the world's not going to win. You'll struggle in the battle, but the war is done. We've already decided the outcome. We know who's going to win. And the Lord says, in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Do you watch the news? You ever find anything on the news to really get you thrilled? Like, woohoo, man. You know, they don't tell you on the news that so-and-so got saved. Monday, was it Monday, Randy? Monday we were here and Gilbert came. Was that Monday? It was Monday. So Sunday we're preaching, and Natalie got saved. She after at the end of the service she raised her hand, but we had another visitor that had been here I don't know close to a half a dozen times sitting back over here, and no response from him. And that's okay if they'll keep coming and hearing the gospel. I'm excited about that. And then I got a telephone call Monday from his friend, and he said, I think Gilbert wants to come see you. He came in this morning talking about wanting to get saved. So he met me down here at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We talked for an hour, went through what Randy goes through, but we were really thorough in the scripture because he hadn't heard preaching that day. Went through all of that thing, and he said, that is what I need to do. And Gilbert got saved. And how exciting is that? But you know what? You didn't hear about that on the 6 o'clock news. You didn't hear about it on the 10 o'clock news. You didn't read about it in the newspaper. Didn't find it on the internet. You know why? They don't report that kind of stuff. You know what they like to report to you? Terrorism. Failing economy. Boil your water. That's where they want to give you all that stuff. All the crisis situation. And you know what will happen to you after a steady diet of that? It will wear you down. Because you look at all that and you think, oh my goodness, there's no hope for this world. Look at all these terrible things that are going to happen. Jesus is over there smiling saying, I've overcome the world. What are you worried about? I've given you peace. You know what I imagine sometimes, because you read about it in the Psalms. I imagine sometimes that, you know, that he told us that before the tribulation there would be something called the beginning of sorrows, and we would experience some of that before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I kind of see some things collapsing around us and people dying of strange viruses and stuff like that before the tribulation even kicks off, and kind of going through all that and just walking peacefully, knowing that God said all this was going to happen, but it isn't affecting us because in that same way, because of two reasons. Number one, he's coming to get us. And number two, if it does, I'm going to be in heaven. So, you know, I think I might have told you one time there was a guy that his last name was Cranston. His father was a spy in World War II. Okay, so you got to be kind of impervious to emotional stress to be a spy in World War II. And there was another friend of his who was a spy in World War II that lived, and both of these guys lived in Wichita Falls. One day, they got the alarm, woo, tornado, and it was a bad one. And it came down and it started running through, and they got on the television and they saw it was heading for their house. Well, they had added on to the back of the house, and so both of them went kind of to the safe room, and Cranston told his dad, told Steve, my friend, he said, I bet you $20 that tornado rips the addition off the back of this house. And Steve said, I bet it doesn't. And then about 15 seconds later, he said, would you pay me now? Because I'm not sure we're going to be around to collect. And about that time, wham, just ripped that thing right off the back of the house. And so they finished up with all that stuff, and that went outside and saw where the track of that storm had gone, and it headed right over to Cranston's friend's house, who had also been a spy. We'll call him Bill. I don't remember what the guy's name was. And so Mr. Cranston told Steve, he said, you know what, we better go check on Bill. That thing went right for his neighborhood. So they got in a Jeep and meandered through the debris, and they got over there in that neighborhood, and I mean, Bill's house was flattened. So, dee-dee, Bill, you all right? About that time, from behind the debris, head popped up and said, anybody want a cup of coffee? He said, I got a burner going down here, but I can only make one at a time. Now, you know that's cool. When people give bad reports of collapsing this and that, and Zika viruses this and that, and bomb threats this and that, and terrorism this and that, I just want to wake up in the morning and say, anybody want a cup of coffee? Why? Because Jesus gave me some peace. And that ought to be put a smile on your face. From the Lord's forgiveness, from the Lord's presence, from the Lord's peace. Look in Acts chapter 23, verse 11. Acts chapter 23, look at verse 11. I think. Paul had gone to Jerusalem, and his intention was to witness to the Jews, and they arrested him. Verse 11. The night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. You get a cheerful countenance from the Lord's purpose. You know what he's telling him? You're locked up, and you know these guys don't like you, but I'm not finished with you yet. Got something else for you to do. I'm going to let you go to Rome. The Lord's purpose. The other day after the funeral for Dale Bennett, I was standing in the doorway and a woman came by and said something about the service. And then she said, you know, 15 years ago I died, but the Lord brought me back. You know why? He has a purpose for me. And she smiled and walked out the door. And I thought, you know something? The Lord came to Paul one day and said, I'm not done yet. And you could just see Paul kind of go, well, cool. I get to go to Rome, preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. You came in here tonight and you're still breathing. And in regardless of however it may look in your life, God's not done with you yet. When He is, you won't be breathing and we'll have your funeral. But in the meantime, He's got something for you to do. And that in itself ought to put a smile on your face and say, you know, there is something yet for me to do, and I'm looking forward to it. So the Lord's purpose gives us good cheer. I'm glad to know today that there is still something for me to do. I want to go to heaven. I told Ann the other day, I said, my roots are shallow. My roots are not deep. But the Lord didn't take me to heaven last night. He didn't take me to heaven today. So I guess there's something else still to do. And I'm excited about that. There are other Gilberts. There are other Natalies. There are other sermons to be preached. Other missionaries to help. Other people to help grow. It's exciting. Let me give you another one. Turn with me to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. And look at verse 22. Paul's on a boat. And the boat's going to sink. And it's not looking good because they've been fighting a terrible storm for 2 weeks. You know, if you get hung up in a storm, the thing blows over. This baby just got right on top of them and went around with them wherever they were. It was terrible. Euroclodon, a bad wind. And in this, all the men on the boat began to despair of their lives. Well, remember, the Lord had told Paul, hey, you testify in Jerusalem, you're going to testify in Rome. He hadn't made it to Rome yet. He's on the way. So he's kind of cool about it, but in verse 21, after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. Don't you hate a told you so? I told you, you guys, we shouldn't have left. You should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Put a smile on your face. Why? For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. All right, you know what that is? That's the Lord's protection. You're going to lose the ship. You're going to lose everything that you had in the ship. But your life is you're not going to lose your life. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And look down in verse 36. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. So it was infectious. They believed him, and they all cheered up. That's the Lord's protection. And it ought to put a smile on our face to know that we are protected by the Lord. The Lord saved their lives in the shipwreck, although everything else was a total loss. May I tell you something? There are times when you face some problem in your life. The loss of a loved one, a financial collapse, the loss of your health, but you're still here. And the Lord is still protecting you. You know what I've heard people say in times like that? They meet somebody else who has it worse than they do, and they say this, you know what? It could be worse. You've said it, and you've heard other people say it. This isn't good, but it could be worse. And this wasn't good. The ship wrecked. That wasn't good. But they didn't lose their lives. And you know what? It could have been worse. They didn't have to see anybody dead. Nobody washed up on the shore dead. And so that's a good thing. The Lord's protection. May I tell you something? The Lord has protected you. He's protected you well. We drive around people who text next to us and drink and do drugs and all that stuff. And you know, it's an amazing thing that we drive and we drive and we drive. And we don't have serious wrecks. I mean, We had a bake sale, Sunday night to help the kids go to camp. And what was it, 2 years ago? 3 years ago? I can't remember. 3 years ago, Randy and Maureen said, I don't want to go to a bake sale. Let's go home. Should have stayed for the bake sale. Stayed ever since.
We made a donation before.
No, I'm kidding you. I couldn't resist. It just seemed like such a layup. So they're on their way home, and a guy comes through a stop sign, 75 miles an hour, and I mean T-bones a Versa, which is an itty-bitty car. And I mean, spun them, rolled them, flipped the vehicle over. He calls me, I mean, a little bit shocked, to say the least. Benny and I jumped in a truck and went out there. And I mean, Maureen is okay, and Hannah is okay, and Randy's okay. And you know what? Could have been worse. Oh, yeah. I am so thankful that God didn't take any of their lives. They're all a blessing. They're a blessing to me and they're a blessing to this church. And you know what? It wasn't good, but it could have been worse. And that's the Lord's protection. And you know what? In spite of all that, put a smile on your face. You know, funny thing about that, I didn't have a flashlight. Maureen and Hannah had recently had their prescriptions done. They had glasses. We're looking around there, and the police are trying to finish up the report, and we're trying to get them situated in my truck so they go home. And I just use the lights of the traffic that are coming this way and stand away wherever you can see that the car had flipped into that dirt. And here's this glass sticking up out, and there's one pair of glasses. I go back over there and looking all around, and here's this piece of glass standing up, and there's the other pair of glasses. No problem. Put the glasses on, a little dirty, a little funky. You know what? It could have been worse. Amen. Amen. Put a smile on your face. Let me give you one more. 2 Corinthians 9:7. 2 Corinthians 9:7. You know what? I like a cheerful countenance. I love to see people happy. That makes me happy. I don't like to see long faces. When I see long faces as a minister, I want to do something to help cheer them up. But also when I see long faces, my face gets long. And I'll tell you, Ann, if you were in here tonight, I tell you, you don't like to see me with a long face because it's like everybody gets a long face. So I like a cheerful countenance. It's good for me. It's good for you. 2 Corinthians 9:7, God loveth a cheerful giver. You know what we call this? The Lord's provision. You know, you say, you know what? I wish I had more. Well, you don't. But you had enough to give, which was more than you needed. And that ought to cheer you up. It wasn't much, but I was able to give something. For you to be able to give something means the Lord has provided you with enough to take care of your needs and to help somebody else. Hallelujah! That's a good thing. That widow didn't have much, but she had enough for her and her son and Elijah. And it was there every day. And that's enough to put a smile on your face. You know, we think back to the days that we were in school going to Bible college. And it's really funny, I read Barkowski's prayer requests this morning, and I was praying for them, and oh, they said, you know, man, life is rough. 2 kids under the age of 2, missionaries in Trinidad, and I'm thinking, you're still in your 20s. I was in my late 30s with 4 children under 6, working all day and going to school all night, and I'm thinking, poor baby. But I look back on that, and I'm thinking, how in the world did we do that? And when that offering plate came by, we didn't have 2 nickels to rub together, and yet there was always something to be able to put in there. And I look back, when I thought about that, it brought a smile to my face and tears to my eyes. God is so good. So good. We may not have much, and we may not be as where we were before, and all those other things, but listen, the Lord continues to provide for us. He takes care of us in our churches, He takes care of us in our homes, in our daily lives, and thank God there's still something to be able to return to Him. You know what? We need to remember this. We really need to remember not to murmur and complain. That's very contagious. It's easy to say, oh, I'm so upset about this. I'm so frustrated about that. And when that happens, face gets long, other people's faces get long. Not a good thing. Our countenances ought to reveal a merry heart within. And really it should, because the world doesn't have a merry heart. They have no idea what this is until they come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? They need to see what one looks like. And here it is. They could see one on our faces. They need to see that what's in our countenance is something that comes from what's in our heart. And this deal is real. It is real. I'm so thankful for the Lord's forgiveness and His presence and His peace, His purpose, His protection, and His provision, how much He's done for us. So I don't know how you came in here tonight, but I pray when you go out of here tonight, God stirred up your heart and said, you know what? God's so good to us. He's so good to us. And I thank Him for His provision. Father, thank You tonight for a cheerful countenance. Thank You so much for a merry heart. We ask You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us always to be mindful of these things, Heavenly Father. For we ask You to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.